Coming up on Telling the Truth with Stuart and Jill Briscoe.
We have no idea who we're going to meet during the day who is weary, weary of life, weary of their marriage, weary of their job, weary of everything. What's the point? Their whole life has not turned out as they wanted it to be, and they're disappointed with life. And you and I bump up against people like that all the time. If you have met with him in the morning, God will give you a word for the evening or the afternoon or whenever it is that you meet the weary one. He'll give you a word, and it will match absolutely.
Maybe today you'll be the encourager for that person worn out from weariness. Or maybe it's you struggling under the weary weight yourself. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe continues her series from Ecclesiastes, Searching, about our quests in life and what every human seeks. This time, searching for a song to sing. Jill explains coming up. In her powerful six-message series, Searching, Jill Briscoe explores the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes to answer your heart's deepest questions, such as, why do I matter? Where do I find joy? And what do I really want? We'll send you a copy of this resource as thanks for your gift today to help others experience life in Christ. So call today to request your copy of Searching. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now let's turn to Jill for her message, Searching for a Song to Sing.
The more time you spend with God, the significant God, in your significant relationship with the significant God, the more significant you'll feel. I mean, it's as simple as that. You'll find that you matter. You matter to Almighty God, if you matter to no one else. And that will begin to give you a sense of worth and value, which is a search that people are on. And so you need to spend time with your words nesting at his feet. You need to spend time in worship. Many times people ask me what my favorite verse is. And this, I don't have a favorite verse. I have many, many pieces of scripture that are very special to me. But if I had to pick, you know, if my life depended on it, I'd probably say Isaiah chapter 50. Because there's just a couple of little verses on this theme of worshiping that have been a huge help to me, and beginning at 4. Now, this is talking about Christ, the servant of the Lord, but we can apply it because we are the servants of the servant. And so we can apply it to ourselves. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear. To listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. A few of those little words are very, very special to me. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, the tongue of a teacher, to know the word that sustains the weary. He opens my ear to listen like one being taught, the ear of a disciple. And the picture is of the rabbi shaking the pupil awake early in the morning to come and learn his lessons and be instructed. Early, early in the morning. And so our, as it were, heavenly rabbi wants to shake us awake in the morning. And we are supposed to go and listen. And that echoes chapter 5. Remember, when you go into the house of God, go there to listen and not to offer the sacrifice of fools. Do not be hasty with your mouth, etc., etc. Let your words be few and stand in awe of God. And so here again, there's this wonderful picture that the sovereign Lord is shaking us awake in the morning. He's trying to get us out of bed so that we can meet with him. We have no idea who we're going to meet during the day who is weary, weary of life, weary of their marriage, weary of their job, weary of everything. What's the point? Their whole life has not turned out as they wanted it to be, and they're disappointed with life. And you and I bump up against people like that all the time. If you have met with him in the morning, God will give you a word for the evening or the afternoon or whenever it is that you meet the weary one. He'll give you a word, and it will match, absolutely. But when you can't feel him with your feelings, Fill him with your faith. What do you know about God? Affirm it. Get on your knees and start and worship. You are God when everything's bad. You are here even when I can't feel you. Just go through who he is and what you know he is. So it's what we think and what we know that save us when we're in a Job-like situation. And I have written in my very first Bible, when I came across these words, God said to me, get up, Jill, and listen to me, and then go out and listen to them. Get up and listen to me, go out and listen to them, and match the word I give you as you worship with the weary one that you will surely meet along the way. And so Solomon's doing that. In chapter 12, he's coming to God, he's worshiping, and words that have worshiped are words that work. And he's writing them down, and he's saying, I'm on a mission, and I'm going to use every single piece of my life that's left to me, that God gives me, to help you not to do what I've done and to shore up your spiritual disciplines. Don't get lazy. Be reading that scroll, reading, marking, memorizing while you're young, because you sure won't be doing it when you're old. You'll just be trying to remember the way home after all of that. So wake up, listen up, speak up. That's the three things that come out of that and also are echoed. And you know, what I love about the story of Solomon is he always gives you that last chance, the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance to get back on track, to make a significant mark rather than a significant mess. And that's your choice. You have a choice. I have a choice to make a significant mark in the world because of the significant relationship you have with God. Now, remember what I said. The devil will get you at your Achilles heel. It's a bit like Edinburgh Castle. Edinburgh Castle is a beautiful castle in Edinburgh, in Scotland, and everybody goes to visit it, if you get to visit Scotland. And it's only ever once been taken in war. It's a magnificent castle and has a huge moat around it. It's one of the widest moats there are. And when it was being beleaguered one day, I don't know who was trying to take Edinburgh Castle, but what happened was they had a spy within. They had one of their men planted inside the castle. And late one night, he let down the drawbridge and they came in and took the castle. The only time it's ever been taken. And within us, we have that spy within. We have that dissenter. We have what we call the flesh. We have that person that we're born with. And they're going to let down the drawbridge at the point of your weakness, your Achilles heel. They let down the drawbridge. And everybody has an Achilles heel. It might not be so obvious, but every single person will have that Achilles heel. And you have within you the enemy. You have the enemy within you. You've got Satan without, and you've got yourself within. And the thing is, the more you worship and the more you get to love God to distraction so you can hardly stand it, the better you will be at dealing with that enemy within and dealing with the enemy without. Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life, says Solomon, the book of Proverbs. Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. That's how it is. And Solomon's heart clung to those women he should never have married. He was forbidden to marry foreign women. He married 1,000 of them or whatever. For us, women outside our marriage vows are the foreign women, I suppose. So Solomon, being wise enough to get his life right with God, wants to move us towards keeping our lives right, never having all those regrets that I trust we'll never have. A life lived doing it his way is a life of fulfillment. And you get to that point and you get the peace, you get the joy that never ends, and a life of no regrets. So somebody put eternity in your heart and said, this is possible. The God of eternity can inhabit your life. And he can be dressed with your humanity. Divinity dressed with your humanity. That's Christianity. Divinity dressed with your humanity. That's Christianity. And one thing that the Bible says is that we are busy chasing after the wind when life is like a mist and the word is vapor. If you ever go out in the cold air and you breathe, what happens? You see this vapor that just disappears like that. That's the word that's used here in the book of Ecclesiastes to describe how quick it is. In fact, if you use different translations, you'll find, what is your life? It's like a puff of smoke, visible for a little while, then dissolving into thin air. That's Phillips. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. And this, of course, comes from the book of James 4:13, where he picks up the theme, the brother of the Lord Jesus. And this is what he says. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Indeed, you should say, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. And yet the devil's whispering in our ear, God forever.
You're listening to Telling the Truth. Today, Jill Briscoe is encouraging you to worship and to focus on what really matters, a relationship with the one true God. She'll be right back to tell you more. Advertisements promise happiness if you'll buy what they're selling. Success, money, and relationships promise fulfillment if you can attain them. But when your heart is longing for something real, something that truly satisfies, none of these deliver. That's because the deepest longings of your soul aren't found in anything the world has to offer, but they are waiting for you in Scripture. Joel Briscoe wants to help you discover the hope, purpose, and security your heart is searching for in her six-message series, Searching. This powerful study examines the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, sense of wisdom, significance, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. This enlightening resource is our thanks for your gift today to help reach more people around the world with the message of God's love through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. So call today to request your copy of the Searching series. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app. Now here's Jill Briscoe once again.
What we need if we're going to have a meaningful life and a joyful life, because the only significant joy that you'll find is in your relationship with God, the only deeply lasting, everlasting significant element of joy that you'll find is in your relationship with Him, you need a spiritual dimension to your life. Do you know anyone chasing the wind? So frustrating to chase the wind. You never catch it. But man is listening to Satan, and he doesn't acknowledge it, that he's limited. He doesn't think he's limited. He thinks he can go to the moon, which he has done. But he isn't God, though sometimes he acts like he thinks he is. He might be bright, he might be capable, but on his own he cannot create. On his own he isn't sovereign. He's not the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He didn't make the universe, neither can he sustain it. He cannot hold all things together. By him, all things stick together. All things consist. And if he didn't hold it all together, the planets and everything else would spin off. Gravity would disappear. And it would all be over. And man thinks he can create because he can procreate, you see. Yet he can only activate the mysterious process in which God brings into being a new life. Ecclesiastes 11, as you do not know how the spirit comes into the bones of a woman with the child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. God brings into life, new life. It's a miracle, a mystery. A man cannot figure out what God is doing. I use my wisdom, says Solomon, to figure it out, but it was beyond me. And what he needed was the wisdom of God, which God, of course, gave him. And so, life is brief, life is boring. We have to try and tidy it up, make it more exciting. In fact, it says in chapter 1, everything's so weary, it just goes round and round, the daily round and round, you know. Life is boring. Life is brief and life is boring. And life is a bear. But somebody put eternity in my heart and somebody gave me the gift of time, though brief, to realize it. And somebody whispered to my soul that I was made for another world. C.S. Lewis's quote, when you find within yourself a desire that nothing on earth can satisfy, the most probable explanation is, I was made for another world. I was made for another world. Though I live my life this side of the front door of forever, somehow I know someone is at home in the universe and he's waiting for me and he's going to ask me, according to Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 14, what on earth were you doing? That's what he's going to ask all of us. Will I answer I was chasing the wind? Will I hear him say, well, that's not exactly what I had in mind for you? Or shall it be, I will answer him, Lord God, as best I knew how, I feared you and I kept your commandments, for that is the reason you created me. And that is my chief end and my highest joy. It's my highest joy. Heard about the little boy who was doing his catechism, what is the chief end of man? That we should love him, fear him, and endure him forever, he said. And to look at some Christians, that's what you think it is. I've got to do this. I've just got to be this Christian. No, enjoy him forever. That's the chief end. That's the whole thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole thing. That's it. Can there be joy in being obedient? Of course there can. Of course there can. Of course there can. This is the grace place, and Jesus is joy. God in Galilean cloth making my heart smile. Then I realized, says the man who wrote the book, that it's good and proper for a man to eat and drink. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, listen to this, enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He can give you the world. He can give you a castle full of things. But the enjoyment in the things he gives you is also a gift. That's why people can have all these things and people and amass and accumulate and be miserable. Because you have to know him to receive as well the ability, the enabling to enjoy the gifts he gives you. And specifically the simple things and gifts of life like eating, drinking, and labor. See that theme all the way through this book. And the incredible thing is contentment with your lot in life, in the work, whatever it is a gift. And he gives with the blessings that he wants us to have in this life, the joy in them. The joy in them. Did you see that verse you read? Because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. What are you occupied with? God keeps you occupied with gladness of heart. There's joy in the presence of God. Joy in the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. Joy has to do with the presence of God. And the idea is to be occupied in the inner recesses of your life with God himself. Not God and anything. Not God and people. Not God and things. Not God and fun. Not God and pleasure. Not God and sex. Not God and anything. God, God, God. God's presence gives new dimensions to all things, legitimate things, which Ecclesiastes teaches, are all God's gifts. Know the joy. God and freedom. Outside this country, people don't understand. The Americans that are saying, if I lost my freedom, I could never smile again. But joy is not to be found even in the freedoms that we are incredibly privileged to enjoy. Not necessarily found in those things. I see that the title for my talk is Standing on Holy Ground. And you know you're on holy ground when the joy is there. The joy is there, deep, 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 deep joy. Do you know that joy? Well, fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole thing. And realize that one day you'll be held accountable, not just for what you knew, but what you had a chance to know. And oh, the sorrow on that day.
Searching for a song to sing. It's the title of Jill Briscoe's message on today's Telling the Truth. Coming up, she answers questions about feelings versus faith. King Solomon spent a lifetime learning that lasting happiness can't be found in possessions, success, money, or relationships. What he discovered millennia ago is still true today. Your heart's deepest longings are found only in God and His Word. That's the subject of Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching, which is our thanks for your gift today to help more people experience life through the resources of telling the truth. Walk with Jill as she looks at Solomon's life in the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, wisdom, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. Generous friends like you keep broadcasts like this one going, reaching others with God's love and grace so they can live with purpose and significance in Jesus. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today to help keep God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of Searching when you call and give. Just call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, Jill's here to talk with us about a couple of thoughts from today's message. Jill, when a person doesn't feel God with their feelings, how do they feel Him with their faith?
We feel Him with our faith, which I believe I said in the book feels different. Feeling Him with our faith feels different because it's something about our thinking, not our emotions. Sometimes when we think something, that is accompanied by something not quite like an emotion. There's a sort of exhilaration, an intellectual exhilaration that isn't the same as fuzzy feelings or happy, clappy stuff, you know? And that's really what I mean. We feel Him with our faith. It feels like conviction, something, I know that. It's not without emotion, but conviction has to do with wrestling through truth. And it's altogether a different feeling. It's an intellectual, yes, I believe, not without emotion, but it's called conviction. And I think I should have used that word. We feel Him with our faith when we read the Bible and say, I believe.
Jill, what about that person who feels that they don't have a spiritual dimension to their life? How do they find it or add to it?
Well, it's wonderful if you're talking with someone and they come to the point of saying, I don't have any spiritual dimension to my life. I don't go to church. I don't know what I believe. I never read the Bible or any other religious book, etc., etc. I usually just suggest, would you read a small book about the Christian faith? If they say no, well, that's the end of the conversation. If they say yes, be prepared. Have a small booklet, perhaps like Dr. John Stott's Becoming a Christian, something very simple, very short. And I've never found anyone, one or two people, that would throw it back at me and say, no, I don't want that book. Most people say, well, I could read that. Yeah, I'd read that. And then I would just say, I'd love you to read it, and then we can talk about it. Let's have coffee.
And that often leads to being able to point out what is a spiritual dimension. Well, you can't have a spiritual dimension without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. So you just step back a little bit and never leave home without a little booklet or something to give somebody that you've had a conversation with.
Thanks so much, Jill. Before we go, we want to remind you that when you give to support Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one, we'll say thanks by sending you Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This encouraging resource will help you uncover the source for lasting significance and satisfaction straight from God's Word. So please request your resource when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll come back again next time for more encouraging biblical truth with the Briscoes. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.